Yeah, and Father, I just pray that you will open my heart, open our hearts. Lord, we don't just want to hear what you have to say to us. Lord, we want you to change in us what you have to say to us. Father, make us, mould us, shape us more Christ-like. Lord, this world around us is dying. And Father, you've called us to this world. Lord, through you, we are to bring your light, your salt. Lord, through you, we are to change cultures and atmospheres. Lord, we won't do that in our own strength. It will only ever be done through the power of the Holy Spirit that resides and lives within us. But Lord, what more do we need than that? So Father, open our hearts to what you would say to me and to us this morning, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in a series on the fruit of the Spirit. I was going to tell you which one it was, but I've forgotten already what number we're at. Every time, I think this is my third occasion on speaking on this, I did the root to the fruit, and then I did joy, and then we're going to look at another fruit this morning. But I just want to say, and I will keep saying every time I'm doing about fruit, that the context of doing this fruit has to be in the root. It has to be walking in the Spirit. Because it is the Spirit within us that spontaneously works out what he is doing in us. I read in UCB, I think it was yesterday or Friday, when it was talking about this whole thing about plants and growth, and it said, nurture the root and you'll always have the fruit. Ignore the root, say goodbye to the fruit. And I thought, I might get that with a t-shirt on. Yeah. Nurture the root and you'll always have the fruit. Ignore the fruit, say goodbye to the fruit. Our nourishment and our growth comes from the root. He is the one that makes a difference in us. That's why we're not some club or society or a group of like-minded people. We are all gathered here because we carry the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and Jesus, because we've given our lives to him. And it's his Holy Spirit that produces the character traits, the fruits in us that are found in the nature of Jesus. They are the byproducts of his working, of his control in our lives. So if we want to see that fruit grow in us, then we must join our lives to his. We know this reading so well in John 15, 4 and 5. It's talking about the vine and remaining in him. It says, remain in me, Jesus says, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Do I remain in him because I have to, because the law tells me I have to, because he insists I have to? No, I remain in him because I have a relationship with him. And in that relationship, I must know him. I must grow to know him. I must love him. And through that, I must imitate who he is, because I'm in that relationship with him. He is the source of our Christian life. So we need to submit every aspect of our Christian life, of our life, to him. Our emotions, our physical side of our life, our social, our intellectual, our vocational. There is no area in our lives that we should not be walking in the Spirit. So this morning's fruit is patience. Isn't God so good? You know, when we prepare, I think all the other preachers would say this, God challenges us first. My first one was joy, and boy, did I have a challenge in the 2 weeks before that. And this time it's patience. And I've been digging and sorting the root very much in this last week for patience, because we're all a work in progress. And I came across this story that I'd like to read you. It's something that a New York City taxi driver wrote. And this did something in me. And I said, well, Lord, do I share this? And he said, yes. I said, so I just want to be obedient. So this is what this person said. I arrived at the address and honked the horn. After waiting a few minutes, I honked again. Since this was going to be my last ride of my shift, I thought about just driving away. But instead, I put the car in park and walked up to the door and knocked. Just a minute, answered a frail elderly voice. I could hear something being dragged across the floor. After a long pause, the door opened. A small woman in her 90s stood before me. She was wearing a print dress and a pillbox hat with a veil pinned on it, like someone out of the 1940s movie. I don't know what that means. I'll have to ask someone later. Only just. By her side was a small nylon suitcase. The apartment looked as if no one had lived in it for years. All the furniture was covered with sheets. There were no clocks on the walls, no knick-knacks or utensils on the counter. In the corner was a cardboard box filled with photos and glassware. Would you carry my bag out to the bag? Would you carry my bag out to the car? She asked. I took the suitcase to the cab and then returned to assist the woman. She took my arm and we walked slowly towards the curb. She kept thanking me for my kindness. It's nothing, I told her. I just try to treat my passengers the way I would want my mother to be treated. Oh, you're such a good boy, she said. When we got to the cab, she gave me an address and asked, could you drive me through downtown? It's not the shortest way, I answered quickly. Oh, I don't mind, she said. I'm in no hurry. I'm on my way to the hospice. I looked in the rearview mirror. Her eyes were glistening. I don't have any family left, she continued in a soft voice. The doctor says I don't have very long. I quietly reached over and shut off the meter. What route would you like me to take? I asked. For the next 2 hours, we drove through the city. She showed me the building where she once worked as an elevator operator. We drove through the neighborhood where she and her husband had lived when they were newlyweds. She had me pull up in the front of a furniture warehouse that had once been a ballroom where she had once gone dancing as a girl. Sometimes she asked me to slow in front of a particular building or corner and would sit staring into the darkness, saying nothing. As the first hint of sun was caressing the horizon, she suddenly said, I'm tired. Let's go now. We drove in silence to the address she had given me. It was a low building, like a small convalescent home, with a driveway that led up to it. Two orderlies came out to the cab, and as soon as we pulled up, they were caring and intent, watching her every move. They must have been expecting her. I opened the trunk and took the small suitcase to the door. The woman was already seated in a wheelchair. How much do I owe you? She asked, reaching into her purse. Nothing, I said. You have to make a living, she answered. There are other passengers, I responded. Almost without thinking, I bent and gave her a hug. She held on to me tightly. You gave an old woman a little moment of joy, she said. Thank you. I squeezed her hand and then walked into the dim morning light. Behind me, a door shut. It was the sound of a closing of a life. I didn't pick up any more passengers that shift. I drove aimlessly, lost in thought for the rest of that day. I could hardly talk. What if that woman had got an angry driver? Or one who was impatient to end his shift? What if I'd refused to take the run or honked once and then driven off? On a quick review, I don't think that I've done anything more important in my life. We're conditioned to think our lives revolve around great moments. But great moments often catch us unaware, beautifully wrapped in what others may consider a small moment, a small one. Now, I don't know if that story's true or not, but I think it captures life. And as we will see this morning, God's patience and the fruit of that patience is a lot more than reflects in this story that I've just read. But this story is important because it reminded me how through our impatience and our anger in situations, how we miss opportunities in the Spirit to enrich not only our lives, but the lives of others. It's right that great moments often catch us unaware, and that they are beautifully wrapped in what others may consider a small one. But the fruit of the Spirit helps us to catch those moments and to respond in a right way. See, the fruit of the Spirit is an important fruit in our lives. It produces a power and a strength that is only found in God. Colossians 1:11 says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. See, Paul was praying for the church in Colossae that they would have this strength, that it would be with all the power of the Holy Spirit according to his glorious might. Then that power would enable them to not only endure, but to have patience that is like an inner strength. See, when we are impatient, we reveal our weakness. It shows we are depending on external supports, such as schedules that just have to go right, and circumstances that support our fragile hearts. And oh yes, our outbursts, our threats, our harsh criticisms of those who cross our plans, they may not sound weak. But in reality, they are noise that is just camouflaging the weakness that is within us. See, kingdom patience depends on an inner strength, which for us as Christians can only come from the Holy Spirit and the Father who resides within us. Kingdom patience comes from a position of power. See, we all have the ability to take revenge or cause trouble. Our human nature is we can do that with ease. But kingdom patience brings self-restraint and careful thinking. So what is patience? You've ever owned a dog, you know how patient that dog is being. The Greek word for patience that we find in Galatians 5:22 is makarothiam, or makarothiam. And if you say that's not right, Richard, then I behold you to because that's as near as you're going to get it with me. But what it means is, whether I pronounced it right or not, is it means long temper, in the sense of the ability to hold one's temper for a long time. The equivalent English expression would be having a long fuse. We've all used that, haven't we? Particularly with someone else. In fact, we're quite good at using that with someone else, but perhaps not so much with ourselves. So what is the common definition of patience? It says the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble or suffering without getting angry or upset. Do you know, today, that word patience is used less than it has been in the last 500 years of recorded history. And I think that's a telling reflection on the society that we live in when it comes to patience. So how does the Bible define patience? Well, it's similar to what I've just described, but there are additional aspects. The King James Version translates patience as long-suffering. That's not a word we hear a lot now. I think it's a wonderful word because I think it sums up what the Gospels are talking about here. And the fact that patience and long-suffering are two words, they're closely related and they're associated with endurance. And that's another word that we don't hear a lot in society today. But the truth is, we see anything but endurance in this life. Now, I didn't know Trevor was going to share his God story, so this is not Trevor, okay, what I'm about to say. But who drives? Who drives? Most of us drive. You know, if the lights go green and you're not away from the lights in 2 seconds, quite often now you'll get someone who I think might be waving at you, but I'm not too sure. or at least sounding their horns. You know, there is just such impatience in this world. And it's not just at traffic lights. On the roads, you see road rage. You see people cutting people up. We've read and heard of murders taking place over the most simplest things that happen on roads. But it's not just on roads that impatience is coming about. People are so quick on the defensive nowadays. They're impatient. And they literally, within seconds, want to attack what you're saying without giving it a thought. They want to strike back in an instance. And it seems to me, and perhaps this is just me, but there are a lot of people who carry an inner anger that just seems to be so fierce. And it's an anger that's come from their past, of where they've walked from. And it's like every small hurt or annoyance just adds to this storehouse of anger. So that the slightest provocation just makes it explode out. And you may have been on the end many times of receiving that storehouse of anger. You know, at its root, anger usually involves a spiteful attitude of retaliation and revenge. I need to get my own back on this person. And yet, when we talk about the kingdom, when we talk about the Father's instruction in regarding our attitudes, he is totally different. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. That can be hard, can't it? I would suggest, in our own strength, it's impossible. We may have times, but we need that impartation of the Holy Spirit. And we need to honestly examine ourselves. We need to ask, am I motivated by love, respect, patience, and compassion? Or am I motivated by resentment, contentment, intolerance, and hardness of heart? Am I slow to anger? Am I quick to forgive? Because we have a Father who is gracious and compassionate, who is slow to anger and rich in love. And if we're saying we're rooted in him and we are letting him be Lord of our lives, then am I imitating him in those situations? Am I showing love and respect and patience and compassion? What is my attitude? See, good interpersonal relationships depend on us doing our best, yes. But it also, we have to trust in our Father and we have to rely on the Holy Spirit. See, we need to realize that without him, we are pitifully incomplete. I am pitifully incomplete. But we need to be led by him. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And in being led by the Spirit, Colossians 3:12-13 tells us, we put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. We're bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So we have to be rooted in that Spirit, because that will produce in us a patience that will bear with one another rather than allow ourselves to get irritated. And it happens because we're family. But you know, some of those that are going to come through that door for the community, oh boy, are they going to irritate you? Are they going to try your patience? And you know, if we're not careful, all we'll do is reflect the world in how we deal with them, when we need to be so rooted in the Holy Spirit in producing that fruit that bears and shows his kingdom. So what does the Bible say about patience? Well, it says much. Here's just a few. Patience originates from God. Patience, as we're just dealing with now, is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Patience is a product of self-control and is a part of godliness. Patience was demonstrated by Christ. Patience helps us to grow during trials. Patience allows us to be strengthened and blessed by God. And patience is pleasing to God. See, we live in a very impatient world. It's no secret that technology and interventions and inventions have made routine tasks easier and quicker. I mean, I remember when the internet first came out and you could let that little wheel go round and round. You could go make a coffee and a sandwich and you'd come back and that little wheel would be going round and round and round. And it is 100 times faster nowadays. But I bet you still get impatient with that little wheel when it's going round. I do. See, we drive to restaurants now where you can place your order at one window and a few seconds down, a few yards down, you've got a fully family-cooked meal coming out the other window. Other brands are available. But everything is so instant, with an expectation that we should not have to wait long. We want it now, we can get it now. It's our right to have it now. But you know, that seeped into our judgments as well. We're quick to judge. We know what the issue is. Let's get straight to it. And yet, we can see it so often. A lack of patience has led to so many situations being poorly dealt with, decisions that are poorly made, and injustices that take place. See, the trouble is the news coverage and our mobile phones, they tell us instantly what's wrong and what's right now. And we don't even have time to think about that sometimes. It's just, this is how it's going to be. And yet that is so different when you compare it with the incredible patience of our God. 2 Peter 3:15 says this, "And remember our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved." Without God's patience, none of us would live long enough to come to a saving relationship with our Jesus. I find that very sobering in the world that we live. See, his patience has a purpose in delaying judgment so that we can seek him and escape that judgment that we are due. You look in the Old Testament and the prophets reflected this patience, and so should we. Judgment is coming, but even now, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Through the Spirit's power, we can display the same patience to others. 2 Thessalonians 3:5 says, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ." This is not a human thing. This is a spiritual, a kingdom. And Lord, that's my prayer, that Lord, you would direct my heart increasingly into the love of you and into the patience that Jesus showed unto the cross. And the wonderful thing is, Jesus is still, even now, patiently waiting for the Father's plans to be completed. But when this priest, that's Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. Shouldn't we equally be as patient with those outside of this building who live in our communities? Shouldn't we be patient even as he is patient? You see, there's a fruit to our patience, because even when we are patient, we leave God room to work in our hearts and our relationships. We suddenly find that we're laying down our schedules and actually we're trusting God for what he wants to do in our lives. We suddenly find that we're thanking him not only for ourselves but for those that he's brought into our lives. And you know what? We let God be God. As the Holy Spirit produces patience in us, he is making us more Christ-like. And how much we reflect that patience is the barometer of how much we're having his involvement in our lives. That relationship with him. Yes, it is true. It is true. What's true, Richard? Well, even without God's help, people can learn to be calm and patient. Because most of the time they see the advantage of that. But can they sustain that? Is there consistency about that? No. Because even with their good intentions and good habits, they are not nearly as powerful as a supernatural fruit of patience. It is a gift. It is something that comes out of our relationship with him. So we're going to look at some, briefly, some expressions of the fruit of patience. Patience is waiting quietly. Lamentations 3:25 to 26 says, "The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." So here's my challenge to me and to us. Do we wait quietly? Do we wait without complaint? How many times a day does someone hear my groans? What do we groan and grumble about when we don't want to wait? Am I setting an example in waiting patiently? Or do I make sure everyone knows how unhappy I am about what I'm seeing or hearing or doing? It is a challenge to us, but it's not beyond us because it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Another expression is waiting eagerly. You know, so we not only wait patiently, we wait eagerly. We've got to multitask, men, but it can be done through the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 9:27-28 says, "And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once and for this coming judgment, and after this coming judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, for salvation without reference to sin, to those who eagerly await him." You know, that's the challenge to me, and hopefully to you. Are we waiting eagerly? Or are we waiting with a begrudging, impatient heart? Do we want this section of life over? Or are we eagerly awaiting for the Father to use me and you in a way that is going to transform the community and society we live in? Romans 8:19-23 says, "For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the Son of God. For the creation was subjected to the futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body." See, is my life characterized by an eagerness for my own redemption? Do other people see that eagerness in me? Do they see it in my words, in my actions, in my facial expressions? Or am I waiting for that earthly material things What I'm saying is, do they see kingdom about you, about me? Whatever I approach is important, because what I approach and what I walk, I will reflect. And I will live my life. So am I living my life with a kingdom mentality? Yeah, there one day we will be free from all the pain and all the suffering and everything else that this life throws at us. But there is still so much to do now, today. Because I want people to have what we have in Jesus. He's the answer. So how do I live my life? Patience is waiting also until the end. Hebrews 6:13-15. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you. And so, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. See, Abraham waited patiently, and he obtained the promise of entering the promised land. But remember that slight detour he took in regards to the promise of an heir. See, we read in Genesis how things didn't go so well for Abraham there, and how his involvement, how he took things into his own hands regarding an heir and a son, rather than waiting for the Lord's promise to be fulfilled. And it's an event that shows us that waiting doesn't automatically produce patience. Just because we wait doesn't mean that's going to produce that patience. The key is for us to draw on the Holy Spirit as we wait. This is how the fruit of patience is produced in us. James encourages us to therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Patience is also waiting expectantly. Maybe you've had a God-given vision of success, of something that God's going to do in your life, like Abraham. But life has given you that curveball. There's been a wild turmoil that suddenly has taken that. And it's like you feel the promise is never going to happen. In Oswald Chambers' classic devotional, which I know many have read here, My Utmost for His Highest, Chambers writes, God gives us a vision, and then he takes us down to the valley to batter us into the shape of that vision. It is in the valley that so many of us give up and faint. Every time, every God-given vision will become real if we only have patience. Who can relate to that? Yeah. And you know, there are so many people in the church today who are no longer in the church today because they're still in the valley. They've grown faint. They've given up. They're not attending anymore. And that's sad. That is so sad. Because the truth is, God's not going to leave us there in the valley. He's not going to leave us in that place. How do I know? Because I think that? No, because Philippians tells us. Philippians 1:6, God will finish for what he has started. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. See, we feel so often that, and wrongly, that God is going to do things this way or that way. But the psalmist encourages us to keep asking God for our request, even while we're waiting for him to bring it about. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly. See, we have to trust God for the God-given vision and desire that he has placed in our lives. His ways are not our ways. His timing is not our timing. So we wait expectantly, knowing his way and his timing is perfect. Yeah, and that can be hard. And that can be years. And that can be difficult. But we've got to trust him. Patience is waiting joyfully. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. That'd be good if James had stopped there, wouldn't it? But he goes on to say, whenever you face trials of many kinds, oh, great, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You know, sometimes my character has deep flaws. I say that because I'm not alone. And sometimes I can't see those flaws, but God can. And what's wonderful is he won't ignore them. He gently, persistently prods me. And I would suspect he does the same to you. Because he wants to help us see our sin. And he won't give up on us. He is patient with us, even when we're not patient with him. Yes, it's easier if we listen and obey first time. But God will not stop purifying his people until we reach heaven. There will always be things in our lives that he will show us. But this trial of waiting doesn't only have to be a painful season or time. Within this time, we can be joyful that God is at work in our lives, that he is growing some good fruit in us. And that leads to patience, is waiting with grace for yourself. See, we try very hard, and we flow in the spirit as well, of showing grace to others. But showing grace to yourself, that can be hard. It's one of those things that's easier said than done. Waiting with patience is not easy. But God knows this. And again, the good news is he doesn't leave us alone in that. Romans 8, 25, 26 says, but if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. See, this is our good Father. He not only calls us to patience, he also helps us within our patience. He helps us in our weakness, and he prays for us. Get your head around that one. He prays for us. We cannot be patient on our own, as hard as we may try. In fact, you'll lose patience with yourself because you're trying that hard that you lose patience, because you can't. You can't. Patience, kingdom patience, inner strength, inner power patience, a patience that is not only for one another in the family here, but in the people that we will deal with in this community, comes from within. It is a powerful inner strength. It is not within our flesh. So we therefore need the help of the Holy Spirit to grow it in our lives. There is one thing that we should not wait for. There is one thing that we should not be patient for. Yes, there are many things that are worth waiting for, and many things that we should learn in patience. But there's one thing that we should definitely not wait for or postpone. for one more second. And that is acknowledging Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in our lives. See, we have no idea when our time here will come to an end. When you look at people like Rose Crosby, who's run the race, her time is coming to an end, but she's run the race. We don't know when Jesus will return. It could be today. It could be before we have coffee. It could be tomorrow. But if we haven't acknowledged Him as our Saviour and declared Him as Lord of our life, then we've got to encourage not only anyone here, but our community to not wait another day. It is only by the grace of God that the sun rises most mornings, not this morning. But the wonderful truth is, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So in finishing, patience is a product of self-control and a part of godliness, which is demonstrated to us by Jesus Christ. Patience is an important part of helping us grow and become stronger, not only through our faith, but during our trials. Our patience pleases God and results in His blessing. So my encouragement this morning is nurture the root and you'll always have the fruit. And you know there is fruit to this fruit. Even science backs the benefits of patience in our lives, as it's been found that patient people enjoy better mental health, are better friends and neighbours, that patience helps us achieve our goals, and patience is linked to good health. God knows us so well and knows what's best for us so well. So my prayer this morning is that we will be a people who are rooted in Him, and that we will outwork that fruit of patience. So Lisa, can you just put some that music on that we have at the beginning, please? And just as you're sitting there, I'd just like you to close your eyes. Because I believe Holy Spirit wants to speak to some of us. You know, I can't get that story out of my head of the New York taxi driver and what he said about how he so nearly missed that opportunity. So my prayer is, don't miss an opportunity. So Holy Spirit, open our hearts. That work you want to do in us can only but do us good. It can only make us grow in you and be more Christ-like. It can only help us to imitate you. So do you carry anger like a storehouse? Like an inner storehouse that's just always seems to be that it's ready to burst forth. It flings the doors wide open. Then I encourage you this morning, as you sit there, to let it go. You might say, well, I've got lots that justifies me, Father, why I'm so angry. Yeah, and I don't belittle any of that. But Holy Spirit says, what's best for your life now is that you let it go. Trust God. Let Him be the judge. And Lord, when that is let go, let the peace that beyond all understanding come. And in that peace, and in with the Holy Spirit's work, let the root of patience take hold. Let it grow. Let it flower. May they see the difference in circumstances and in people they deal with in a different way because of your working in their life. Is it an area in your life that you're finding it hard to wait patiently? You keep giving it over to the Lord, and it keeps, as it were, battling its way back in, and you don't feel that peace, you don't feel that inner strength and power of a patient heart. Then again, I ask you, give that area over to the Father this morning. Allow him into that area. Allow him to help nurture the fruit of patience. It's not a weak thing. It will give you inner strength and power to reflect kingdom values in that area. And you will wait with a godly perspective. And then finally, have you lost your expectation? Did you have a vision? Did you have a dream? Did you have a desire? Perhaps you say, I've never had a vision. I've never had a dream. Well, God has got one for you because he has plans and purposes for you. But if you feel that expectation, that vision, that desire has declined, have you left it in the valley? Yeah, but Richard, you don't know how tough life. Yeah, I do. I'm not belittling anything. I know how tough it is. But Father will not leave you in that place. He will not. He has your best, your very best for you. And you've got to find where you left him and go back to that place and give it all to him again. And trust him that he will lead you patiently out of that valley into the promises and plans and purposes and desires that he has placed in your heart. So Father, we give you the glory, and we just say, keep working in lives that you are touching now. Lord, they are personal to individuals here, but you are our personal God. You stand in front of each and every one of us at this present time, and you are the answer. You are the answer. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you want to just continue sitting here, that's fine. If you want to go for tea and coffee, that's fine. Just to say a practical note, nothing needs to be put away today. So you can just fellowship. No tables, chairs need to go away. You can just fellowship. If you want further prayer, then there will be people here that will pray with you. You don't have to say what that's about if you don't want to. It's between you and God. But nurture the fruit of the Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.